if they are open to God, God is ultimately going to bring them the true saving message. God will continue to work in their life.
How does God hold accountable those who have never heard the gospel? That very interesting subject is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we are so thrilled to be able to do this, to be able to come to you through your speakers or your headphones or however it is that you listen. If you've never visited our website, it's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of stuff for you on the site. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. But as for right now, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're taking your questions. Here is one from William. William asks, and this is a tough question. He says, how can God hold those lost tribes and unwitnessed people accountable if they do not even know of Jesus? I simply could not answer. Honestly, I struggle with that as my heart longs for African missions. So how can God hold people accountable who've never even heard of Jesus, don't know Jesus?
Okay, well, let's see if I can think of all the answers, because there's quite a few. First, let me say that I'm more concerned about America than I am Africa.
Okay.
Because Africa probably has more evangelicals than America. Maybe not, but, you know, they're at the point where they're sending missionaries out, and the old line that there were lots and lots and lots of people in Africa that never heard, not quite so true anymore.
Right.
Africa has a strong presence. Now, it's true, there's many, many Muslims in Africa and tribalists and other people, but the message of the gospel has gone all through Africa. So that's number one. But number two, it is true that there are pockets of people around the world, tribal peoples, who have either heard very little or nothing about Jesus Christ.
Sure, there are people all over the place who haven't heard about Jesus.
Right, and missionaries are going out all the time trying to move to new people groups.
Yeah.
But part of it is they have to go learn their language, then they have to translate the Bible, or at least portions of the Bible, in that language, and this takes time.
Right. What about all the people who have heard about Jesus, but it's a false Jesus? All they know, let's say, is the Jehovah's Witness Jesus, or Mormon Jesus, or work salvation Jesus.
Right. Well, okay, let's take that separately. Let's go to the first point. What about somebody who's not even heard about Jesus at all?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer would be that there's a provision that God has made that he is drawing all people to himself. In John 16, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the world, everyone on the planet is being convicted that they are sinners. Everyone is being convicted that God is righteous. And everyone is being convicted that there's a coming judgment. And so any group, anywhere, has that conviction that takes place. There's also the witness of general revelation, that is creation. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the psalmists tell us. And Paul says in Romans 1 that we're without excuse if we don't respond to creation. So let's say there's some person out there in Papua New Guinea who's never heard of Jesus, but he sees the creation, he realizes that he's a sinner, that there is a creator, that there is a coming judgment.
Yeah.
And so he cries out to the creator and says, please give me more information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's essentially what happened in Acts 16:9 with the Macedonian vision.
Mm.
Paul receives this vision that a man in Macedonia is asking to come and bring the message to them. And Paul responds to that and goes to Europe and proclaims the message there in Europe. And it seems to me that wasn't just something that happened that one time. I think that sort of thing goes on a lot. And lots of people have said in the history of missions, there have been lots of examples of people who said, we cried out to God, and God revealed to us he was going to send someone to us in the form of a white man, and you're the first white man we've ever seen.
Hmm.
And these were missionaries bringing them the word. And that's not a one-time thing. That's happened again and again and again in missions. And so people who are crying out to God are receiving more information. And of course, you've heard there are untold tens of thousands of Muslims who have seen dreams and visions about Jesus.
Right.
And they claim to be followers of Jesus now. I'm somewhat skeptical of these reports, but then the real fruit of it, I think, is whether those people then respond and come to faith in Jesus. And some of them do. I've read some of the reports and listened to watch some of the videos, and some of them are clear that just by faith in Jesus, they know they have everlasting life. And so I would say I think some of that is real. But even if it weren't real, even if it was just a figment of their imagination, God is using that to bring some people to faith in Christ. And
right.
So I don't buy the idea that if a person dies never having heard, that they had no opportunity.
So basically what I'm hearing you saying is you might think of it in terms of maybe levels of accountability. You know, you should be able, at the very least, to look at creation and know that there is a creator.
Exactly.
And then you may be beyond that, you know, your own conscience convicts you, and so you know that there's a judgment for yourself.
Exactly.
And the more you respond, maybe you'll get to that level of a Macedonian-type situation.
Right, and you quoted in the last show we were doing, Acts 17:27, that God has granted to people that they might grope after him, if perchance they might find him, and he is not far from all of us.
Right.
Well, he was speaking to people who'd never heard about Jesus. They'd never heard of the resurrection from the dead. They thought this whole thing was fanciful, these Athenian philosophers. But the point is, he came and he told them that in every nation, anyone who is groping after God will find him. And Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We read untold numbers of testimonies of people from various religions who were not satisfied with what they were hearing. And so they cried out to God, and they ultimately came to faith. Now, coming back to your question about what if they're getting a false Jesus? They're getting the message of Jehovah's Witnesses
so
or the Mormons.
Well, I don't believe in this Jesus, and they reject
him. Right, right. And my response would be, again, if they are open to God, God is ultimately going to bring them the true saving message, not some work salvation message. God will continue to work in their life.
Let's say you have a Muslim, and Jesus is, you know, he's in the Quran. I think he's second only to Muhammad in the Quran. And Jesus does miracles, and he's even, I think, called the Messiah, although it's really not clear what that means. Let's say a Muslim hears about
but
that
clearly
Jesus.
Clearly, he's one of the greatest prophets.
He's one of the greatest prophets. But, you know, he just kind of stops there. Or maybe you're a Mormon and you believe you grew up in a Mormon family. You heard that Jesus came to like North America or Central America. And you just don't believe that Jesus because there's no evidence for any type of Jewish civilizations in the Americas. And you just reject it. Have you been given a fair shot to believe in Jesus at that point if it's from false teachers?
Well, it seems to me that you've received more light than the people who've never heard of Jesus at all. Right? Now, you've heard a bad message, and there's untold millions of people who've heard a work salvation message.
Yeah.
I mean, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, they're hearing about Jesus, and their presentation of Jesus is in some ways Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
After all, if it's the Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, their presentation of salvation is some sort of work salvation approach. But it seems to me, Sean, you mentioned about kind of degrees of a culpability. And I think we see that. For example, Jesus said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than some of the cities like in Capernaum in Israel. Because the people in Capernaum had the witness of Jesus.
Right.
Himself.
Right.
And they rejected it. Whereas the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have the witness of Jesus. They had very little light. They had very little evidence. Now, both will be condemned, but some more than others.
Right.
And so it seems to me that someone who grows up in a land where, or a tribal group where they've never heard of Jesus, and they are drawn toward God, but they don't respond, and they die in unbelief, they'll be eternally condemned, but their experience in the lake of fire will be far better than the person who grew up in a Christian land and maybe heard a work salvation message, but still had plenty of opportunities to cry out to God or to reach out to other people, to evangelicals, and find out what is this message. And so there'd be more accountability and they'd have a worse experience, because it seems to me just as there will be degrees of reward in the kingdom for believers, there will be degrees of torment for unbelievers in the lake of fire.
Now, well, the way some people might answer this question is they'll say there's something called a post-mortem kind of opportunity to believe. After death, if you've never heard, somehow you hear it while you're in Hades or something. I'm not quite sure what verses they would point to that. There might be one in 1st or 2nd Peter that might suggest that. But what do you think? Have you heard about this theory?
Yes, and the big problem with this is that Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die," John 11:26.
Okay.
In order to never die, you have to believe in Jesus while you're alive.
Oh, so while he who lives and believes in me. So there's, you have to be alive while you believe.
Right. And, of course, you also have the Hebrews 9 verse, "It is appointed to man once to die, and then comes the judgment." There's no, okay, you die, but then you still got a couple thousand years to come to faith, as long as you come to faith before the great white throne judgment.
Okay, so you're saying that verse says the judgment comes at the point of death.
Now, there are exceptions to that, because a few people, like Lazarus, have died twice, and there have been a few other people that Jesus raised at least 7 people from the dead, and there were some Old Testament raisings of people from the dead. So there were people who died more than once, but the general pattern is, or the proverbial statement is, that once a person dies, they're not coming back to this life, and they're going to experience judgment. Believer, judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. Unbeliever, great white throne.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for that discussion, Bob. And thank you for the question, William. And if you have any questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org. We really want to hear from you guys. We want to hear that you are listening, and we want to hear where you're listening from, so we can make good decisions about where to expand this show. So thank you for listening, and please visit our website. Sign up for the magazine, sign up for the blog, sign up for receiving audio and video from us, and of course, keep on listening to this show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that, if you get subscribed completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another great Friday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead of you, and we'll be back with you on Monday. Thanks for listening. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.